started off in a series, and I called it The Gospel and the Will of Man. This is a very important thing because dealing with the areas of a lot, we don't maybe do a whole lot of teaching on the will of the human being, but we need to understand about this. So I've said under, like, say, Kenneth Hagin's ministry and others, one of the things that they teach about man and the creation of man is man, they say, well, man was made in the likeness of image of God, that we're a spirit being, and that's true. We are a spirit being. God's a spirit. But also, we're giving something very unique. We have a will. We were given a will. That is like, see, God has a will. He has a will of what he wants to do. And God made man, and man has a will. We need to understand that God never goes against the will of a human being. Human beings get to decide what they want. Good or bad. Humans get to decide it. And this is one of the things that we deal with is people don't realize the importance of the will. And we've already talked about some of these things, but I want to go this morning and look at some things in Scripture dealing with the things, because I want to talk about the will of a lot. The of man, because we don't preach a gospel today that deals with the will of man. You know, people say the things, and I hear this, people call preaching the gospel, ask Jesus into your heart. You know, they don't say that in the Bible anywhere. Nowhere in Scripture says that. That's man's gospel. That's the gospel of man for the religion of man. We have all these things that people say and make these statements, and we need to understand the importance because it's about the will. Now, when I go back as a young kid and I look back from Christianity and going to churches, there was a completely different gospel. One of the things you would hear in the preaching of the gospel back then was a commitment to Christ. You know, people would preach the gospel and it was about giving your life to Christ. See, we don't do that today. We tell people, you know, you come, you know, you need Jesus because you have some trouble in your life or you have problems. You need Jesus because the wrath of God abides on you. It says in John, the 3rd chapter in verse 36. You know, God loves everybody, but if you don't accept Jesus, every person who doesn't accept Christ is going to end up facing the wrath of God. That's what's going to happen. The wrath of God abides on them. God must deal with the sin. He has to deal with it. He has to. Love does. See, we don't preach a gospel, a true love gospel. We preach a gospel that Jesus loves everybody, so everybody's going to be all right. Well, that ain't happened. Everybody ain't all right. Things are all turning. And so we don't preach it. We never deal with the things of the will of man. See, it's one thing. What do I do with my will? What about my will? I have this will. I can determine, you know, I determine my destiny. God don't. See, people say God's in control. Well, if God was in control, the Bible says this, that He's willing that none should perish and all come repentance. Well, see, this is how everybody gets to believe. Today, there's loads of Christians, even spiritual people, have got to the point where they believe everybody's going to heaven. Why? Because of this false gospel that's preached. It's a false gospel that tells people that everybody's all right. That everybody's okay. Well, it's not true at all. See, we preach God's in control. I'm sorry. When God gave you a will, you're in control of your life. Now, we have a choice concerning, what do I do with this will? I have a choice of the decisions. I can either yield my will to God's will, or I can determine to follow my own will. One way or the other, you're going to do that. God doesn't push people or make people do anything. You know, if anything's forcing you to try to do something, that's the devil. God doesn't. God gives people the opportunity to make the choices of their life. Have you ever made bad choices? You know. I've watched people make bad choices and say, well, God had me do it for a reason. No, you didn't, you knucklehead. You did it for yourself, and then you're going to blame it because, see, we're in a cult, American culture. Somebody else is always at fault for your problems. Amen. That's the American culture. It's everybody else. You know, my mom and dad, they were bad to me, so I can be bad. It ain't my fault. Yeah, that's, you know, this is the whole thing. Living this stuff. But see, whether we realize it or not, this stuff has become the gospel in the church. So my life just turned out, it is what it is because God has turned, this is my destiny. No, God gave man a destiny that he could make choices of what he wanted to do. And so, I mean, I lived for 30 years living, you know, my choices. They weren't so good. some of them. They weren't very good choices at all. But I made them, but I can't blame them on anybody else. You know, when I became of age and to be able to go out in life and make my own way, I can't blame what somebody did to me in the past is why I can't make it. No, I'm making the decisions now. So if I'm making wrong ones, I always get this. People say, well, you know, I was this way because my parents did this or that. Well, if you know they did wrong, why do you keep doing it?
Amen.
No, if it didn't work out, then you have to do something else. And it comes down to the basic thing is your will. It's your will. Are you going to take control of your will? Or are you going to let your will and just let it go along? Is your will driven by your emotions? Is your will driven by whatever society's doing or anything? See, people today, they hate to fail. This is one thing I see with weakness of will in the church world. People hate to deal with difficulties. They hate to deal with people when there's a problem. They like to ignore it. I really don't want to say anything. They're going to get upset. Well, then you're never going to be a witness to anybody.
Amen.
Never. Because the gospel ain't a sweet thing to people.
Amen.
You know, the gospel's not. You're telling people, we have a society that says, you know, everybody's basically good. I've heard spirit-filled ministers say people are basically good. And I thought, you're such a knucklehead, you ain't even basically good. To not know that people are basically not good. That's why Jesus died. He didn't die for the good. He died for me, the knucklehead. Because I was the idiot. See, I don't know who those others are. I can't identify with them. But see, we have these things. It's trying to appease people. We don't want to face difficulties. This is one reason our government. We have so much debt in our nation and all this kind of stuff. The chaos in our government, the chaos in our society is because we have weak-willed people who will not deal with the hard things. It's number one, you will never, if you can't deal with yourself and your own will, you're never going to face much of anything with anybody else.
Amen.
You're not going to do it. It comes down, you know, I found the hard part was for me to deal with me. See, when I got saved, I found out, see, God didn't let me blame things on Wanda. He started dealing with me in my life. My decisions, what I'm going to do from here on out, what I'm going to do, my problems, where I've failed, how I'm going to have to change it. And see, these are the things that people definitely usually don't like. I don't identify with most people that came to Christ because God never dealt with me in this wonderful, nice thing. God dealt with me about where I was messed up and needed to change.
Amen.
He dealt with me in those things. And these people, you know, come to Christ and it's all about getting money, a new car, a house, and we're going to all tiptoe through the tulips. He didn't do that to me. I don't identify. My God dealt with me because He, you know what? He wanted me to have a blessed life, but I couldn't have that making the decisions I was making.
Amen.
Using my will to do the wrong things. Making my choices wrong. And so we need to understand this. We want to look at something here in Mark the 8th chapter. I want us to look at scripture here. The thing that said. And we're going to look at some things because we want to identify some things about translations and how we look at the Bible and what we look at when we read through things. Because many times things are not really as they appear. This is why I'm a huge believer. If I've understood anything, probably over the last 20 years, especially in my Christian walk, that I've understood is to study to show yourself approved. If you're not a studier, you're going to miss a lot about the Bible. Now, I'm not talking about studying, going and looking at somebody else. You study. You sit down and allow God to teach you. Allow God, where you study and you look at things. See, I'm just going to be honest. Today, Christians in America are lazy. Because they're always looking for somebody else. You do the study, preacher, and then you just tell me, and then that's what I'm going to get. I'm going to go home. And I'll tell you this. Oh, this is why people, you know how people got the idea to think God blesses preachers more than other people? Because see, we've been doing the study and finding it out. Oh, you've just been listening. We've been working at this thing. The guy that works at it, God's not a union guy. Where whether you come to work and don't do nothing, you get paid the same as a guy that works. He don't do that. You take the time and study for yourself. Why? Because God has things that He needs to deal with you. Not with somebody else. We want to have this sort of generic Christianity. God's not generic. He deals with us individually. That's wonderful. Because I know God's not sending me a canned message. When I need help, He's sending me. He ain't sending the help for the guy that's in India, got a car problem, and I'm dealing with something else over here, and He sends us both the same message. He sends me what I need. And that's what we want, is what I need. And sometimes what we need isn't always like we want to hear, but I want you to read, and we're going to look together here in Mark, the 8th chapter, and verse, starting in verse 35. The scripture says this, verse 35, it says, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Then it goes verse 38. "For whoever's ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous, sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Now we're going to look a little bit at this because these scriptures are not what they appear to be. Now number one, they deal with, they're dealing really with the gospel, is this is dealing about Christ. Because we have a really interesting here concerning words and how these words were used. And it's really interesting because it says, "For whoever desires to save his life." That word life there is the same word as translated soul in the other tradition. That word is soul, is the same word for soul. In fact, most of the time during in the New Testament, that's the word for soul. Now, I want to say this because as we deal with the areas of the soul of an individual, one of the things is I remember in teaching, like, you know, with Kenneth Hagin, he said of the years that he sat and studied, because he said, and I found this out when, and people still do it today. They'll talk about, though, somebody gets saved, they say so many souls were saved. Well, actually, no souls ever got saved at a meeting. Your soul, the Bible is, deals with your mind, will, and emotion. Now, there's people got born again, that was their spirit. But see, we interchange words and we don't know, so when we read the Bible, lots of times we don't know what it's saying. Because we interchange things by religiously how they were taught. See, man's a spirit being. When a man gets born again, his spirit gets recreated. Not his soul. His soul is, the Bible says about, you know, our whole spirit, soul, and body. It talks about our spirit, our soul. We're a three-part being. Spirit, soul, and body. And so we need to understand that, dealing with it. We deal with the soul, and what is the soul? They say, well, it's your mind, will, and emotions. Now, that's where Kenneth Hagin, he always taught mind, will, and emotions. One of the things that God's been dealing with me, because understand the mind's really important, but understand this with the will. Your will is going to determine whether you get your mind renewed or not.
Amen.
Your will is the key to really of dealing with your soul. Your will is. See, stuff don't just happen. Like I've heard people say this, and even ministers say this. Well, if God wants me to have this or do this, He will do it. If God wants, they say this. In other words, your will don't have a thing to do with it. God just throws things out there and just does things. Isn't that be nice? Why would the Bible tell us to pray if God just does stuff? If He just does it, I don't need to pray. I don't need to pray about nothing, you know? If everything's in God's will, well, He's just going to do it. You know, I've had people, I've had spirit filled, dung talking people say to me already, you know, pray for me about such and such, but I only want God's will for me. And I always just say, well, when you find out God's will, let me know and we'll pray about it. Because until then, we ain't throwing this stupid thing out here. You don't even know what God wants to do and say, I just want everybody has. Well, the devil will come and give you something and you'll take it. You wouldn't know it was God. If it's whatever comes, well, you know, that's what we're going to have. I mean, it's total nonsense. But people do that. I only want what God wants me to have. Well, Mark 11:24 says, whatever thing you desire when you pray. It didn't say whatever thing God desires when He prays.
Amen.
You know, God don't usually need what you need. You know, God don't need your lunch. Yeah. He ain't up in heaven starving out and waiting for, see if, you know, you're going to get lunch today. You need it. See, there's all kinds of things you need. You know, you might need a vehicle to get back and forth to work. God don't drive. See, it's about what we desire. What's the things that I desire? What deals with my desires? And see, the Bible says about God giving me the desires in my heart. It didn't say God's going to give me His desires for His heart. But yet Christians say these stupid things. They know nothing about the will, how it operates, yet they're trying to operate out here in the kingdom of God. Even spirit-filled people, they don't understand. They talk about faith, but they don't know how the thing really works. They don't understand it. Because we've complicated it with all kind of our ideas. And if anything of it is walking in the areas. God has given us authority. And our authority is operated through our will. I don't care how much authority you have. Your will determines whether your authority works. Your will. Your will does. We want to see here, because He said, his desire. Said what? He says, for whoever desires to save his life, or we put this word to save his soul, dealing with his, we say soul. Well, what do we think of? People say it's mind, will, and emotion. Really, what he's dealing with here is about our will. If you want to save your will, you need to understand this. When a human being, like, well, let's put it down here. Let's look at it this way. For whoever desires to save his will lose it. If you want to keep your will, you're going to lose it. There is nobody who dies and goes to hell. When you go to hell, in hell, and eventually a person will be final judgment, the lake of fire, that person's will is of no avail to them at all. Judgments, the judgment of God will be on those individuals, and their will not, they can't will a darn thing. They're stuck. You see the difference in this scripture, talking about this, dealing with it? See, people want to have their own will. See, this is why when people preached the gospel years ago, it was about dedicating yourself to Christ. It wasn't about just you receiving Jesus, it's about you turning around and giving yourself to Him. That's what the gospel is. See, we want, they used to use the term fire insurance. See, most people, I don't want to go to hell, but I don't want to follow Jesus either. But we're taught today that you can get the fire insurance, you know, to follow Jesus because there's grace, it all works out. Now, you know, we heard testimony, but you know, the testimony we heard today, the reason God, I'm just going to tell you why God moved concerning Brenda. It was because of them, it wasn't because of Brenda. Brenda got saved and wouldn't walk with God. She wouldn't do what was right. And then comes up, things went trouble after trouble after trouble, to it got the point she couldn't bring nothing under control anymore. The devil's done run everything. Because somebody else knows God, they can get things done. You see, we need to understand it. But see, that was her will. Nobody did it to her. She had opportunity. She would tell Darlene, yeah, I know I need to go to church. This is before she lost her leg. I know that, but I ain't going to do it. Her will. I know what I need to do, but I'm not going to do it. Boy, how many times I've heard that. I know I should do this, or I know I should do that. And they usually wait, and trouble comes. And then it's all out of control. And then it's, preacher, get your Harry Potter wand out and wave it over me and make all of my stupid decisions go away. Be nice if you do it. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, she is a Christian. She died. She went to heaven. Thank God she knew somebody that could help her get there in a good way. Hallelujah. So that's one thing the Lord dealt with me in the areas over time as a minister. You know, and I've had people or stuff would die. Sometimes, you know, I did like with people who were in our church. They have a family member who has a problem. One of the things that the Lord dealt with me is that sometimes He spoke to me clearly. The person is not going to be healed. They're going to die. And the Lord told me this. You get them ready so they can have a good home going. That's your job. See, I found out God would move. But why? Because He's good. The person don't deserve good at all because they've done nothing but make wrong decisions. But God's still trying to do something good. That's the way He is. I don't know Him any different than that. He's always trying to do something good. Always. You know? And, people need to get this in their mind. And what happens? See, God, they ask God to do something. And God wants to do something good. He wants to bless us, His desire. He's good. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from above. And it says, where there is no, see that's over the wall, but it says there's no shadow of turning. God don't have bad descent. And people say, well, you know, God made me sick for a reason. Well, if He did, He sent bad. If sickness is good, then you ought to be wanting it. Don't ever go to a doctor if you think sickness is good, because why would you want to get God's good off of your life? See, Christianity is one of the craziest bunches. See, it's why the world out here, they listen to this double talk stuff. God is good, make you sick. Like sickness is good. I can't wait to go to the hospital. I can hardly just wait. I can just hardly wait. But you see, we're dealing with the will of a person. How can you make good decisions with bad doctrine? Your decision, your will is going to be, this is why you be protective of your will and the nonsense you listen to. I don't care if some guy calls a Christian. There's a lot of nutty Christians. Thank God, he'll die and go to heaven. Hallelujah, but glory to God. While you're living here, God wants to help you. God wants to bless your life here. God wants to do good for you. But your will will determine what He can do for you. Amen. Your will, my will. And see, we need to stop and look at it. We're not dealing with that today. Well, God's good and we're in grace, so I can make dad decisions and he'll still work things out. Look around you. Is that working? Is that working? I mean, I thank God. You know, just like with Darlene and Marlene, there's somebody that knew how to step in and do something. Somebody knew how to hear from God. This is what I found out. It's most time I get into situations when bad things happen and ain't nobody in the group knows how to hear from God. Mm-hmm. So I have to take the time. I got to find out, hear from God, try to hear something from God for them. That's what they do. And they, people expect that's working. That's the way God works. People wouldn't have near the problems that they had if they took the time to hear from God.
Amen.
But they never take time to hear from God till the rock falls out of the sky and hits them on the head. Now, let's try to find God. And there's so much ringing in their ears from the rock hitting them, they can't hear no way. They can't hear a thing. They couldn't hear an atomic explosion go off. And you're supposed to... See, you know what? I'll tell you what. I have learned. I can hear from God when the bomb's going off.
Amen.
Why? Because I trained myself to hear when the bomb's going off. When trouble comes and the noise is going, I know how to get quiet. I know how to listen to God and shut everybody else off around that's blabbing their voices of what ought to be done.
Amen.
Say, hey, hold it. I want to talk to the Creator. He knows more about this than I do and you do.
Hallelujah.
Let's hear His opinion on this one here. See, when you get God's opinion, what? Well, it's like they talked about. Got God's opinion, there's a peace. You know, the one thing of it is, God bought the peace to them.
Mm-hmm.
God bought comfort to them because they wanted to comfort somebody else. God bought comfort to them. See, in time of trouble, they looked at somebody else's problem. Instead of walking around and said, people today, they wear their problems, you know. They used to talk about wearing them on your sleeve, you know, doing that. I said, people today, their problems are right out in front of everybody all the time and all their trouble and all their problems. You know what? Next year, they still have all their troubles and all their problems with a couple more to put on. You see, this, we're dealing with the will. Whoever desires to save his will lose it. But whoever loses his will for my sake and the gospel will save it.
Amen.
You want to save your will? Pick up God's will.
Amen.
That's what it is. Who will ever, I'm going to give up my will and I'm going to take His. This is what it's about. Taking the will of God. Say, God, what's your will in this? Yeah, I have it. This is where I've always told you folks, one thing I've learned big time, Brother Hagin, listen to him pray. In the afternoon at Raymond, I would go to school. And in the afternoon, it wasn't a mandatory, but they'd have prayer in the afternoon. And, you could go there to prayer. Sometimes they'd have somebody talking a little bit on prayer, but a lot of times you do just a lot of praying. But it's one thing is I've learned some things about prayer. Sometimes listening to somebody else pray. You might learn something. You find out you don't know much. But anyhow, I listened to Brother Hagin pray, and Brother Hagin would do this. See, he was always interested in the will of God. See, he would take the word on something. We'd be talking about a certain thing we're going to pray about. We'd talk about certain things with scripture that you could use to pray. Brother Hagin would pray, and then he would stop and he'd say, now Lord, if you want to do something else, you tell me. We're going to do whatever you want to do. See, I've done funerals for people who wouldn't listen. God's trying to tell them what He wants to do to change their problem around, but they're so stuck in their direction because I got a scripture. You better learn to be led by the Spirit. Don't say as many as know the Bible are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit. Listen. And I learned that from Him. I learned the fact is, Lord, and I do this. I say, Lord, you know, you're moving direction. Because why? I don't always see everything that needs to be done. I don't always know. Even my own life. There's things you don't see it. You don't know. You don't know tomorrow. He does.
Amen.
And one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is show you things to come. You might change a lot of decisions if you took the time to find out about tomorrow. They might seem like a good, godly decision today. But when you get around tomorrow, say, whoa, we should have done that one. You ain't ever been there? You ain't ever made a decent decision in your life, probably. You come down, you need to know. See, this is doing, taking on God's will. And this is where we lose it. See, this is about, when you accept Christ, it's about laying down your will.
Amen.
If you just want to have your will and your stuff, Jesus is going to be a waste of time. Christianity is going to be a waste of time. The idea of you're going to get blessings from God, that's a waste of time. They come with His will. Now, number one, we do want to know the Word and learn the Word because the Word is about His will. As you find, that's why I study it. Don't say just read the Bible and read through the Bible once a year and you'll be all right. The Bible did say read through the Bible once a year and you're just going to be good spiritually. He said study. Study. That word study there also means can be used as diligent. Be diligent. You know, somebody's diligent, they're constantly doing it. If you're not constantly doing it, you're not diligent, you don't qualify. Do you ever think about that? God's a rewarder of those who seek Him every once in a while when trouble happens. You see, people don't... This is what I learned. I thank God. I learned as a young Christian, early Christian, how to submit my will to God.
Amen.
If you want reward, if you want God, if you submit your will to God. God, I got a will. I know so much, but I ain't even in the ballpark. I'm not on the same playing field you're on.
Amen.
We ain't in near the same place. You know, the Bible says you know the end from the beginning. Man, I'm just trying to find out where I am now. Dear Lord. I need somebody that knows. And just the thing about it, we're Christians. You and I have zero excuse. We call ourselves Christian. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in you. God's inside of you. You have no thing along. You say, well, I just don't have time to know Him. You got somebody living in you and you're ignoring. You got God living in you and you ignore Him. You know, I've had to repent often about those things where I turn around, did things and say, God, I never even stopped to even check you on this thing. Forgive me in my laziness and my whatever it was. But see, we're talking about it. This is a powerful thing. It is for our blessing. God is not doing this because He got a big head. God has all the answers. He knows what you need. The trouble you're going through, He knows what you need to just walk through that with strength and deal with that. He knows. He knows what the devil's doing. He knows what the devil has his next plan to shot at you. He knows. And He'll prepare you for it if you'll yield to His will.
Amen.
But see, I want to make my decisions the way I want to, and God, you fix them. You run around and take care of my stupid, you know. You know, I'm a pretty nice person. Yeah, and whose eyes is that? See, and this is why he said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world? In other words, he all makes all his own decisions, but he loses his will. Many Christians' will is captive to demonic powers. Because they're following after the world and following the things of the world and making the decision after the things of the world. They're not yielded to the Word of God. Jesus said, you love me if you keep my commandments. He also said, you love me if you keep my word. See, if you're not a person to keep God's word, you can sit this love Jesus all you want. God don't believe it. You know, this is the Bible. I realize this is not the fun message people want to jump pews, but I'm just going to tell you this. You learn to live this stuff, you'll jump pews. We want a move of God without God. We want a move of God with our will. No. I found this out. The more I can lay my will down to whatever God has, the better off it always is.
Amen.
The more I can lay my... And get that in your mind. This is not to hurt you. This is not to control you. This is you have authority. You have authority to what you will... You yield your will to. Jesus talks about a person then with this will. This is Jesus talking. This is Jesus. This is our Lord and our Savior. These are His words. This isn't a suggestion. And He tells you this. In other words, for whoever is ashamed of me, who's God's ashamed? The one who follows his own will is ashamed of Jesus. Well, how does it turn out for that person? What has Jesus said? Hey, I ain't going to tell the Father about you like you're something good. He said, I'm not going to do that. You're ashamed of me, I'm ashamed of you. What gospel is this? He's not going to defy your will. You make a choice to go in a direction, He won't defy it. He may show you what you need to do, but if you go and do your own will, number one, you're going to have to live with that.
Amen.
That's what we live with.
Yep.
I want to find out what the will of God is. You know, in this earth, we're walking in this earth. You know, people have ideas about things. No, fine. You know, God has a plan for our lives. Every one of us is different. You know, I'm called in an area of ministry, but not everybody's there. Bible says some are called to this, you know, apostle, prophets, just some. Well, what's God called you? Where is it? Is your will to God? See, I have this area over here. I find this out of the time. The people want me to come and be their ministry and, you know, do that. People come and say, you know, we ought to do this. Say, well, God put it in your heart, you do it. See, no, I want you to do it, Pastor. I want you to do this because, see, I believe that this ought to be done. I believe that ought to be done. God's talking to me about it and I ain't doing it. So my job is to get somebody else to do what I'm called to do. It's about our will. See, everybody's called. You need to know. See, I can't look in the Bible. I haven't found one of you guys' names in the Bible, though. I haven't found it. I haven't found your name. I haven't found your addresses or nothing. But see, this is, you know what? You're going to have to hear from God what God has you to do. Amen. It's going to take you time to find out what God what God want of you.
Amen.
You're going to have to find that out. You're not a pew hugger. I didn't want the gifts in the Bible. One of the gifts in the Bible. You know, God put teachers in the church to bless you. But the teachers don't do everything.
Amen.
You know, there's certain things I that God don't have me teach or talk about. You need to find out.
Amen.
I got tens of thousands of things I could teach. But you don't have the time to do it. If you're waiting for somebody to tell you everything, good luck. What we want in our society, we want what other people paid great price to get. And we don't want to pay the price to get it. You know? I paid a price to get where I sat. Now that's a dirty word, paying the price. That dirty word's, no, I just showed up, I ought to get the same blessing everybody else gets. No, it don't work that way. Now we try to do that. See, this is what communism, socialism does. Everybody gets the same. I'm sorry. You ain't going to like heaven. It's one of those jobs, go to hell with all your friends. And they're going to find out in hell it didn't work either. Everybody's going to, you know what? Even, this is how God operates. Even in the lake of fire, nobody gets the same punishment. Everybody's judged according to their work. God's not a socialist at all. God is not, He's not innocent. Just because you showed up for work, you get paid the same as the guy who did all the work and you watched. God don't do that. God don't have that kind of a thing.
Amen.
You need to know as a Christian, when you meet Jesus, you're going to sit under a judgment seat, Scripture tells us, New Testament. And you're going to be judged according to what you did in the flesh here.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be rewarded according to that. Man. You see, we got all kind of things, you know, and American culture is all messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Even conservatives, they're all messed up. What they call conservatism, it ain't God's eyes. I don't know what conservatism is. I know what God is. I know what I need to follow Him. Mm-hmm. You know? The Constitution has got so perverted and twisted in its ideas, and the judges and even the Supreme Court have got so twisted and they don't. You know, it's all about, we got to make decisions of where the culture is in this time. I don't care where the culture is in this time. The culture of the Bible has never changed.
Amen.
And there's a standard. There's number one. If anything in my own personal life I need to do is find the will of God.
Amen.
Find out what the will of God is saying. Hook up in that will to follow it. See, we can see this is when we talk about these things here and that stuff. When, you know, as we've said about this before in Matthew, you know, 18:18, where Jesus made this statement, he said, assuredly I say this to you. In other words, this is the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. I'm saying this, assuredly. This is the way it is. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In other words, well, the decisions you make by your will is going to determine what heaven does. Well, we're told the opposite. No, God just doesn't. No, I can have heaven's blessing by finding out what heaven's will is.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever think about, you know, we're talking about, we have this thing here. Did you ever hear the Lord's Prayer? If anything in the Lord's Prayer that people don't teach, I always like this, they get out the Lord's Prayer and they teach you the principles of prayer. Well, what's the first thing in the Lord's Prayer? He's my Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth like it is in heaven. And that isn't where they stop and talk. They move on to all this other, this is how you pray. No, if your will ain't got God's will, don't bother praying the rest of it. The whole thing is getting God's will done in this earth, and the only way that's going to happen if I yield my will to His. That's the only way. I can only have God's will if I yield my will to what He wants to do. It ain't going to happen no other way. God, I want Your will doing what I want. Hey, I did it for 30 years. I got experience in this. It don't work. You want to mess up your life and your family? Just follow my pattern. And then go fake that Lord's Prayer junk. It starts off, God, we need, now look at this. We talk about how heaven's so wonderful. Wouldn't we want wonderful here? See, the whole, if I yield my will, I can get wonderful here. Hallelujah. Glory to God! Is it God trying to hurt me? No, you find my will and you can have the glory of heaven right here in the earth.
Amen.
Talks in the Old Testament about days of heaven in the earth. We aren't having them in today. You know why? Because of the false gospel that is preached.
Amen.
The gospel of men and men's ideas and man's plans and man's stuff. It's like, man, I've had enough of me. Haven't you had enough of you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want some heaven in the earth.
Amen.
Now you think about it. Now look at a situation. Like they were in a situation. This is a bad situation. But what do they do? God sends some heaven to them.
Amen.
To give them peace. To give them. God said, why? They get over to the earth, get over the will of God. God, what do you want in this? You know, we want to know your plan. We want to hook up with you. This is what we want. And what does God send? He sends some heaven to them. They got peace while most Christians are running around acting like hell and hell's running their lives. Because they're not stopping. It's not about the will of God. They're in the middle of trouble and start stopping and saying, hey, God, I need your wisdom in this thing. I need to wield my will to something else. You know, I've pulled my gun and pulled the trigger and it's empty now. The gun's empty. And you know what I got to show for it? Nothing. I got a bullet in my foot. I got one in my hand. I got... But I got a carry permit. Say, God, I'm tired of shooting myself now. Okay? I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to hear from heaven.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. See, it starts off when we deal with Paul talking about the gospel, and Paul in Romans, the 10th chapter and verse 8, it says, what does it say? It says, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And this is what he said, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, I want you to get this. Now they say confess you about the Lord Jesus. Literally, it should say confess with your mouth as Jesus is Lord. What is the confession of salvation? Jesus is Lord. We don't teach people that. Oh, do all the ask Jesus into your heart, you know, do this, do that, do this. No. It's the Lordship of Jesus. See, many people, they say, well, you know, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and it's all about Savior. It's nothing about Lord. And today, they don't even talk about Him being Lord anymore. It's just, you know, I'm saved, I got my sins forgiven. Well, you need your life changed. Be better. You can have your sins forgiven and never get your life changed. A life change, I found that the life change is the Lordship of Jesus. And I've said this before. Billy Graham, by his own admission, started off so, quote, Christian. But said, I was going nowhere, nothing was done in my life. He said, nothing took place till I made Jesus Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's the day he got saved. See, many people converted to a religious Christianity, but they've never been born of God.
Amen.
They never got a changed life.
Mm-hmm.
See, I got a changed life.
Hallelujah.
Wow, Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
See, I came to the place, I knew my life stank, and I came to the place at 30 years old, and I told the Lord, I said, man, all that I've done. But I said, you know, I said, I'll tell you what, I lived a life for Satan. I mean, I was involved in sorcery and all kind of stuff, and I said, you know, I knew how to follow the devil. I knew how to do it. See, I think, you know what, if you're going to end up going, you're going to go to hell, you might as well just have a party going before you go. You know, why try to do something decent here? If you don't want Jesus, you say, I tell you, this is your last chance to have any fun.
Amen.
It is. If you ain't going to accept Jesus, this is the last chance to have fun. You better party it up because ain't nothing else good coming. But there's one on this side is getting Jesus as Lord. And that's what I wanted. I needed somebody to rule over me. Because I had done a mess ruling over me.
Amen. Preach.
Well, look at your life. Have you done a good job ruling over you?
No.
Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. His Lordship. That's what you want. We need to tell people. You need to confess. I've listened to ministers and I've read prayers of ministers preaching the gospel. And there's nothing. They don't confess Jesus as Lord. They say all kinds of things and never Jesus as Lord. Never. Never make a confession. The scripture said this is what you do. I wonder if Paul understood or he was just a little flaky. Maybe he had too much wine. He was in excess. Well, this sounds like a good one. Let's write this one out. And it says you believe God raised him from the dead. So it tells you two things. You need something you need to believe and say, and one thing you need to believe. You see, my will yielded to him is what changed my life.
Amen. Preach.
I never got saved with the idea of wealth or something or other. Never got saved. I just knew I was on my way to hell. I was going to be lost for eternity and I was going to end up dragging my family there with me.
Amen.
And what I needed somebody to take a hold of my life because I had no hold on my life. I didn't have a hold on it. I needed a will that I didn't have. See, my will, I needed to yield my will to something else. My will, I had, you know, and people talk about, you know, it's one thing. Don't ever get this idea, you know, I hear people say this about, you know, a person's strong-willed, you know, you gotta break their will. You never want to break a person's will. I tell you what, in America, all kind of Christians have broken wills. And they do because they turn, they're weak-willed, their wills are broken. They can't make decisions. You go ask them a question, say, hey, want to do this or want to do that? Well, I don't know. What do you want to do? And I ask you what you want to do. Can't stand that. Well, you ask them, what do you want to do? Well, I don't know. And they can't stop and say, well, maybe they won't like what I say to do. Look, if I ask you what you want to do, it's because I'm interested in it. But see, they're so weak-willed. They're that way. They think everybody's like they are. You just never know. I got to try to keep everybody happy. You know? I had, you know, with Wanda, you used to do that. And I used to say, God, I don't think, hey, if I ask you to do what you want to do, you do it. I wouldn't ask you if I didn't want to do what you wanted to do and I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I wouldn't ask you in the first place. I ask you. And if you want to do it, it makes me happy to do what you want. You want to make me miserable? Keep saying, well, what do you want to do? Because I say, stop it! I can't stand that. You go to people, you ask them a question, and they give you another question. We ain't answering it. They might not like my answer. I'm big. Don't ask me if you don't want to hear it. I've done this to people in counseling, sitting down, and they'll go all through their shenanigans, and I'll say, they'll ask me, and I'll say, no, do you really want to hear what I have to say? And I just tell them, do you really want to hear what I have to say? Because you need to decide. Do you really want to hear? Do you want to hear what's true or what's right? Do you really want to hear it? As I found out, most people don't.
Mm-hmm.
What they want is agreement where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
It's that other guy's trouble. If my husband or wife was straightened out, life would be good. Say, no, they have to live with you. That ain't going to get good. See, well, this life wasn't going to get good as long as Ed stayed the old Ed.
Amen.
It wasn't getting better for her.
Amen.
Wasn't going to happen. And see, you know, the other guy just straightened out. You know what? If you can't have peace and joy in the middle of trouble, you're part of the trouble.
Amen. Great preaching.
If everybody has to do everything to keep you happy, you're trouble. I don't care how wrong they are. You don't have no right to be miserable and ugly because they're miserable and ugly.
Amen. Preach.
When I found that out, I said, boy, Ed got to make some changes in this thing. Because you had to make me happy. That was all your job. Try to keep me happy. You didn't do it all I wanted. Ed was upset. And I'd roll around the floor, kick my feet and everything. Yep, sir. Hallelujah. Oh, I've run into a lot of adults like that. Everybody got to keep. I found out in life, I couldn't wait for anybody else to make me happy. I had to turn around and yield my will. And I found out I could yield my will and the peace of God would come on me.
Hallelujah.
God would give me wisdom. It's like, wow, this is good. See, I never had that kind of control in life. I didn't have none of that. When bad happened to somebody that had to do with me, I got as bad happened to me as it did to them. I didn't know what it was to have that thing. That's why. Why? Because as long as I kept my will, I was responding wrong.
Amen.
When I said, Lord, what's your will? Lord, your will says this. You know, they did ugly, but don't retaliate.
Amen.
Say, come on, Lord. Use me to carry out your wrath. Ah, no, you never thought it. You just jumped in and yelled right back. They did it to me. I'm going to give it to them. Yep, sir. That will that's not under control. But you know, it takes time. But, you know, I found myself. It's one of the things that is I found myself over time. It doesn't all happen instantly. But over time, as you go and you develop in the Word, you don't respond like you did. See, I can sit down and say, man, God's working in my life. God's working in my life. I can see God working in my life because I'm not responding. I'm not turned like I was to everything else than I was before. Over time, it changes. Where, man, the things that I dealt with before to now, it happens and I don't even think twice about it. Don't even bother me. Well, it ain't because I'm good. Over time of yielding my will to God, I got to the point. I'm not trying to bring stuff under control like I used to. Oh my God, trying to bring things. It's like, wow, I can rest. I can relax. God will speak to me. God will show me what He wants to do. You know, I just take time. If I feel like I'm under stress and stuff, I draw back. You got to learn to do that.
Amen.
Can't do that. I learned how to win battles. And it isn't how you do, you know, from the natural, you know, it's always, and this is what the church does and teaches. They teach, you know, like, well, the devil does something like you attack, 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 attack. Sometimes the things to do is to back off.
Amen. Preach.
Hear from God. Mm-hmm. And let a rock drop on that idiot.
Amen.
Because what happens, you're under control, and after a while, you know, it don't matter what he does. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Amen. I got the answer. Hallelujah. Amen. It ain't, you know, because I tell you, what happens? You battle, 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 and you'll wear out.
That's right.
You battle, 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 you'll wear out. Mm-hmm. You'll get all frustrated. You'll be mad at everybody. You'll be mad at all kind of stuff and these people and what they're doing. After a while, you don't love the sinner. You want them to go to hell just to get out of your hair. You don't want them around. Lord God, you know, I just, whatever they're doing, you know, say, oh yeah, we pray for the president and then cuss at everything that he does and mad about everything and every decision he makes. I last night. About 1 o'clock in the morning, I was praying for Biden, and I just asking God to send somebody along to his path that I hear. Maybe he'd hear, say, Lord, his family. I said, Lord, he's bound. He's going to soon step off the edge, and he ain't coming back. He ain't going to hell because of the decisions he's making in America. Now, I know that throws all conservatism out and everything else. He ain't going to hell because he's made. He ain't going to hell because he's making socialistic. He's going to hell because Jesus is his Savior. The decisions he's making because of what he is, and the decisions that the Christians have been making, should be totally different because they're not that. But yet they're acting in the same way he does it, retaliating it. They don't see it. He's going to be lost forever. Man, I don't want to stand before Jesus and him say, you know what? You didn't even love the sinner, Ed. The church in Ephesus in the book of Revelation, they lost their first love. What do you think? See, people say they lost their love for Jesus. I don't think that's it at all. They just thought Jesus was for them. Jesus is just for Ed. It ain't just me and Jesus. There's a world that he died for. And I'm going to tell you, if you yield your will to him, You're gonna get a heart that wants to look at the lost. You look what all these crazy people are doing out here and saying, my God, they're going off, being swept off. Just think how many people in this nation, just our nation, swept off the earth every day, lost into eternity. What the they do to Ed don't matter. Don't matter about Ed's economy. That's not the top thing in the notch on the thing and about this election junk and all this kind of stuff. We've lost the heart of what's true. Men are lost forever. People being swept off in eternity without Christ. I don't want Jesus saying, Ed, you didn't love them.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You didn't care. As long as they didn't annoy you, they were okay. But if they annoyed poor little Ed, because his God ain't big enough to take care of him, you know. He just say, yeah, hallelujah. I'm not praying for a Paul ministry. I just want you to know that. God will have to tell me, you know, Paul, could you imagine coming into the gospel and God speaking, the first thing he tells you, I'm going to show you all the things you have to suffer for my namesake. Woo! Man. See, don't preach that gospel to me. I want another one. I'm just going to tell you this. If you walk in a Christian life, there's things you're going to suffer for namesake. And lots of times it's not as people think. Every day, lots of times you suffer what? People attack, say things, people do things.
Amen.
You ain't allowed to attack back. You got to walk in love.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what. That'll keep your flesh here. You'll be smacking it down every once in a while. You won't need to take the whooping Paul got. You'd have to give yourself one. To keep your flesh from getting out there. Walking in those places. You're going to suffer for the name of because you're a Christian. But I want to tell you, the only way you can walk through it is to yield your will to God.
Hallelujah.
If you yield your will to Him, you can walk through these things.
Amen. Preach.
You can go through these things. You can go through the tribulations without having that stuff where you lose your peace. You lose your joy.
Amen.
You lose your confidence in God. You won't do that. I found this in my Christian walk. Sometimes the more things come along, the more I'm confident. I ain't moving.
Amen.
I've got a stubbornness in my will about following God.
Amen.
The more the devil throws, it's like, you just keep throwing it. Amen. What are you going to do? Kill Ed and send him to heaven? My God, what an awful thought on that one. Don't bother praying, girls. Just let him go. We're getting out of here quick. Woo! Just say, sweet low, sweet chariot. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I preached me happy. I did. I'll tell you, God's great desire is to bless you folks. That's what He wants to do. His great desire. We don't have to be afraid. His will never hurt you. His will not only bless you, it's going to be a blessing to others. And that's what I want to be like Abraham. Do you ever think about Abraham? God told Abraham to go to a land. Never told him anything. I just said, first thing he told him to was go. Abraham got up and left it. He said, the Bible says he didn't know where he was going. Here's a man that ain't even born again. He's not born again. God says go, and he said, okay. Packs up his family. Starts heading out. Said he don't even know he's God. Hallelujah. Well, see, he had a will.
Amen.
And God told him his will. And this guy packed up. You and I, he's called the father of faith. This is why he's called the father of faith. God didn't have to tell him everything in the book to do just to get him to move. He knew what the will of God was, and God said go, and he said, I'm submitting my will to him.
Amen.
I'm going to go. That's what he did. He submitted his will to what God said to do.
Amen.
He had a choice. I'm just going to say this. Don't you think everybody in the Bible was God's perfect plan? I'll guarantee you, there's people that God probably talked to before he talked to Abraham who didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But God looks and finds. I asked the Lord one time concerning areas of giving finances. I said to him, why do you always come to me right away about this being given? He said, because if I ask you, you'll give it.
Amen.
In other words, he's had people he's asked. They don't do it. He don't ask them anymore. He wants to bless them, but he don't have their will.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So he finds people who does his will. And sometimes you wonder why God certain things in me. Sometimes it's because you'll do what he said in that area. You know, he'll come and ask you to do it because he's asked others. They don't do it.
Amen. Preach.
And you know what's sad about that? They missed out on the blessing and I get their blessing.
Mm-hmm.
I get their blessing. I dealt with the Lord this some years ago. I said, man, I ain't gonna listen to other people getting my blessing. I'll take theirs, but they ain't getting mine. I'm gonna obey. I'm gonna get the blessing that God has for me. I'm gonna do it. Wow, I'm gonna yield my will to Him. If I yield my will to Him, I'll be blessed. Abraham became a blessing to all the nations of the earth. Just by faith. What do you think for yourself? If you, we can understand God asks us on some little things we don't realize. That might be the key to the blessing of nations, but we refuse it. We look at, oh, this is just a little thing, it don't matter. It's the will of God. When you're talking about the will of God, everything matters.
Amen.
The will of God in no area of your life is a little thing. It's always a big thing. God will bless. Faithful in little, ruler over much.
Amen.
Unfaithful in little, you'll never rule over much.
Right.
See, those little things, we don't think, no, those little things lead to the big things that bless other people.
Amen.
The reward of Abraham is going to be, I just can't imagine the reward of that man, of his faithfulness.
Amen.
To walk and did what he did. Amen. Yield his will. He yielded his will to take his child. God said, sacrifice child. He yielded his will to that. You can't even get people today have the will to tell their kid to sit down and shut up. They don't even have the will to correct things. They don't have the will to do it.
Amen.
A guy who was unsaved, bless my life. Because he did the will of God. And the Messiah came because he was willing. Amazing. Well, see, don't you want to get into that class of person? Do you want to be? Well, see, we can. We can walk in that class of person. Hallelujah. The church has turned into a bless me club instead of a blessing club. Let's be a blessing. See, this is what we did. It's like, you know, Darlene and Marlene being a blessing to their sister. Now, I'm going to tell you, I know the standpoint. She, from a standpoint, had no say to have anything from a blessing or things go well. Now, I'm not criticizing her, but this is what happens when you don't walk with God and you don't do things. As a Christian, she's going to die to go to heaven, but to go in a bad way and different things. God had a plan. But see, because somebody knows how to bless.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't we bless. They look at her situation. They want her blessed. It isn't a matter. Well, do they deserve it? Hey, I didn't deserve saving, but Jesus died for it. I didn't deserve saving. It doesn't matter what the person deserves. You give your will to God, you look at God, and God wants to bless. That's the way He is. So maybe they don't deserve blessing, but I tell you, let's get as much as we can for them. Maybe they can't have the full blessing, but let's get them as much as we can. Let's take a hold of whatever we can to bring blessing. Wow, that's pleasing to God. That's acting like God, trying to get in their blessing. Bring blessing.
Right.
Not bring cursing. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our government's in enough trouble. Quit cursing it.
Mm-hmm.
Quit joining these so-called news networks that just run the government down, run the government down. You know, you don't need to join that club. There's already enough voices cursing. There's already enough cursing voices. Let's speak some blessing.
Hallelujah.
Let's talk those things. Let's yield our will to God's will. God looks in America. You know, the Bible says this, that God takes no pleasure in the destruction of the wicked. How come the church does? He takes no pleasure in it. See, I'm going to take the no pleasure in it. I don't want any pleasure in seeing the destruction. You know, God, I want to be a blessing.
Amen.
That's right.
I want to be a blessing. And there's only one way I can do that, is yielding my will to Him. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, did you get something out of it today?
Amen.
Hallelujah. If anything, God is good. You know, your will is a precious thing. It's a valuable thing. But remember, it's in your hand. It's a treasure in your hand. It's a treasure. We can use our will to be a blessing, or we can use our will to curse ourselves and even other people.
Mm-hmm.
But your will is a powerful thing. The fact that God would create people, this Master God that always was and always existed, made people, and he doesn't want worship from them unless it's their will. He's not going to force anybody. He's not going to do that. Not to force. He wanted people who he would give them their own will and say, okay, do you want to follow me? Do you want to walk with me? Do you want to do it? I mean, to me, that's mind-boggling. See, today we wouldn't do that. Even conservatives don't. They want to get in. Let me get in government and I still want to control everything you do. You know, we want everything down here and all this. We're going to pass 27 new laws. That means more control. You know? We're going to give you a tax break over here and that, but we're going to do this other thing over here or this. And we're going to, you know. I always think about years ago that want to keep the gas prices down. And so the Republican House here in the state, they passed a law that taxed the wholesalers. Like it wasn't going to pass on to us. They said, we didn't put the tax on the gas. No. We did it to the wholesalers. Well, where do you think they're going to pass it off to? I try to say, you know what? See, you got to get voted into office to have that kind of brain. I don't know what they do if they just put two probes inside and set off a bomb or what. I don't know what it is. But to think those things, nah, you're not. It ain't going to fit you. It can affect you. But see, people do that. But see, we need to get ourselves in there walking over in this day and age because there's no wisdom outside of the things of God's wisdom.
That's right.
So we're going to go in and teach more in this because there's some really profound things concerning Scripture about God's blessing. There's one thing I want to tell you is learn to sit down and study the book of James. The book of James is a hidden book to the church. There's certain things we pull out. But James did with a lot of practical wisdom of dealing with the conduct of the human in the earth and your will to God's will. And we need to see this. It's a lot of practical stuff that is said in there that would be greatly beneficial to us concerning the will of God. And as we want to look at some of these things, because I want you to come to the point saying, my God, I want God's will. That's all I want. I just want God's will. Hallelujah. Whatever you want, Lord, I'll do it. You tell me. I'll just do it. I'll follow. Then we come to that. Listen, see, God wants to use us in these last days.
Amen.
He's looking for people. And I just want to tell you this. There's many in the church who are going to be bypassed in this last day and age for their refusal to give God His will. And He's going to raise up people in revival who will turn around and take His will and do marvelous and wonderful things.
Amen.
He's going to raise people up.
Hallelujah.
We have a choice. We can get in the game or we can stay on the bench. I'll tell you what, I'm one on the field. I want on the field. I'm not a good bench person. I'm not a good bench person. I'm not one of those people who sit in the stand and just cheer and act like I'm somehow part of the game. You know, if we ain't playing, Ed's staying at home and keeping all that money in his pocket. I ain't cheering some guy that gets paid $25 million for throwing a ball like that's important. And buy his t-shirts and sweatshirts and wear his underwear and whatever else. I ain't going to do it. Why? Because it's just me. It's like, no, let's get in the game. See, I have an opportunity to play in a game. And I'll tell you, see, the game that I'm in, I do have a cheering section. The Bible says, in heaven, there's those who are looking over. It talks about the cloud of witnesses. See, they're up there cheering us on.
That's right.
See, they went, they're in the stands. You and I ain't supposed to be in the stands. We're on the field.
Amen.
Glory to God. We're on the field.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Suit up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Put the helmet of salvation on. Get ready. Go after it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I just want to say thank you today. Father, you're so merciful and kind and good to us. It is phenomenal. Hallelujah. And I just want to thank you. Father, no matter how we do in our natural vocabulary, there's not enough words to say of your goodness and your kindness and mercy. Lord God, the Bible tells us, you know, thanksgiving and boy, it just don't seem enough. I thank you for tongues. I thank you, Lord God, that we can express things outside of what we can naturally say because, Lord God, there is not enough words in all the languages of this earth to express your kindness and mercy that you revealed to us in Christ Jesus. Jesus, you being such a wonderful Lord, what can we say? All that you've done, you surely deserve to be Lord over us.
Amen.
But even though you deserved it, we weren't forced to do it. All the majestic thing that you have done in your death, burial, and resurrection, and you still say to man, you got a choice. You can love me if you want. You can set it aside if you want. You can do what you want. What a God. I thank you, Lord God, that we've heard a gospel that was true. It was right.
Amen. Thank
and Lord God, a gospel that changed our lives. And I just want to thank you that we got to hear that wonderful gospel. And we made a decision, not forcibly, but we made a decision because the words that of faith that were spoken to us changed our lives. It changed for us. And it changed what we wanted to do with our will. And I want to thank you for that, Lord God. I thank you because, Lord God, there is nothing in this world that can change the will like the power of God in His Word. There's nothing, Lord God. There's nothing in comparison. And I just want to thank you for the power of your Word. And it's working in me and each one of us here over time has changed us and changed us and changed us. And Lord God, I just want to thank you for each one of us today because the Word says that the good work that you started in us, you're going to bring it to completion. Now, I surely think you got your hands full, Lord, but it is not too big for you.
Amen.
You can do it. You can do every bit of it. Hallelujah. And Lord God, Lord, we know it would never happen if we didn't yield our will to you. And we yield our will to you today by faith and say, Lord, Lord, work in us. Do whatever. Hallelujah. We want your will and carried out in our life what you need to do. And your wisdom, we want it to be our wisdom. Your thoughts, it said, are higher than our thoughts, Lord God. But I want to thank you. You gave us the Holy Ghost in the church so we can put on your thoughts. Hallelujah, Lord God. And making your ways and becoming our ways. Hallelujah. And we say, thank you, Father. We're going up higher. We're going further. Hallelujah. We're not at the end of the road nearly. Hallelujah. We're stepping from glory to glory. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Father. Thank you for the part that you've given each one of us in this last day and this last time. Hallelujah. To reach with our hearts out into this world, Lord God. To reach so many people, Lord God, that have been run down by sin. Sin has dominated and ruled their life. It's ruled over them. But Father God, you've given us the glorious answer and the glorious love to reach out to them. Hallelujah. To change their lives. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. And Father God, we desire your anointing to preach this gospel, to tell the people the truth about a wonderful Savior, hallelujah, that won't force and push, but He tenderly calls and says, come to me all you that are labored and heavily laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart, hallelujah, and you'll find rest to your soul. Lord God, you gave me rest, hallelujah. Hallelujah, you're true to your word, and we thank you for it today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.